This is a reading of Romans chapter 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 from the New Translation by Hezekiah with his website JewsForYeshua.com and HezekiahHaas.com. Romans chapter 4. Like Galatians, chapters 4 through 8 of Romans is heavily laced with the Hebrew temple idioms of works and the law and the circumcision, which are all given by Paul, or Shaul, to contrast the superiority of faith in the Messiah, Yahusha's self-sacrifice, with the Levitical sacrifices added 430 years after the promises were given to Abraham. You can read more about these idioms in the Galatians studies, in the Galatian translation. I'm going to read a little bit of that right now. To date, all translations, including Messianic Hebrew Roots-style translations, failed to translate key Hebrew idioms, causing the same confusion concerning the place of Torah in a believer's walk to remain largely unresolved in the emissary Shaul's letters. And the question is, do Gentile believers who have clearly had their sins remitted apart from the Levitical sacrifices still need to convert to a temple-based salvation process, as in the past, for the remission of sins? Or is faith in our Savior's work on the impalement stake sufficient? The conclusion was not only no, but also that we Jews and Israelites would also have our sins remitted apart from the Levitical order of sacrifices in the same way as they had theirs remitted. These idioms are not to be confused with James or Yaakov's statement of faith without works is dead, which simply meant that faith without obedience is a dead faith. Because of the need to translate these idioms into the English language, a paraphrase was necessary. So to develop the work, first a literal translation was made for all the text outside of the idioms, then the idioms were paraphrased, and the literal translation then blended in through paraphrase to smooth the reading. Romans chapter 4. Abraham's righteousness was received apart from the Levitical sacrifices. Romans chapter 4. Verse 1. And I would also like to invite you to follow along in your translation, whether it be the King James or a Hebrew translation. Romans chapter 4. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? Verse 2. For if Abraham was pardoned and acquitted through the Levitical sacrifices, he would have occasion for boasting, though not before Yahweh. And here Hezekiah used Yahweh, and we can use Yahovah or Yahweh. Verse 3, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Abraham believed Yahweh. It was accounted to him as righteousness. Now to him who presents Levitical sacrifices, the wages are not counted as favor gained, but as payment of a debt owed. But to him who does not present Levitical sacrifices, but believes in him who pardons and acquits the repentant sinner, his faith is accounted to him as righteousness. Verse 6. Just as King David also describes the blessedness of the man who Yahweh declares as righteous apart from the Levitical sacrifices, when he says, blessed are those whose Torahless activities are forgiven and whose Torah violations are covered. Blessed is the man to whom Yahweh shall not convict as guilty concerning their violation of Torah. Blessed are those whose Torahless activities are forgiven, whose Torah violations are covered. Next, Abraham's righteousness was received before he was circumcised. In Romans 4, verse 9, does the blessedness then come unto the circumcised only, or does it come upon the uncircumcised as well? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham as righteousness. Verse 10, or when then was it was accounted to him? While he was circumcised, or while he was uncircumcised? It was not accounted to him after he was circumcised, but before he was circumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision in his flesh later as a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had displayed before he was circumcised, so that he might be the father of all those who believe, including those who are currently still uncircumcised, so that this same righteousness by faith might be applied to them also. Verse 12, so that he can be the father of those who are currently circumcised and participating in the temple sacrifices, and be the father of those who are also currently walking in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his descendants through the Levitical sacrifices, but through the righteousness of the faith in the seed of Abraham, who was to come, Yahusha the Messiah. For if those who are of the Levitical sacrifices are the heirs, then faith in Yahusha's self-sacrifice would be pointless, and the promise that was made would be of no effect. Let me repeat in verse 14, for if those who are of the Levitical sacrifices are the heirs, then faith in the Messiah, Yahusha's self-sacrifice, would be pointless, and the promise that was made would be of no effect. Abraham's righteousness was in the sacrificial work of Yahusha, the promised Messiah to come. In verse 15, is that the Levitical sacrifices are about the imposition of consequences, except, of course, when there is no violation of Torah. But that faith in Messiah's self-sacrifice is according to Yahweh's favor toward us, so that the promise might be made secure to all of Abraham's descendants, not only to those raised under the Levitical sacrifices, but also to those who come into the faith as Abraham did, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who Abraham believed in Elohim, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did exist, who, contrary to hope, through hope believed, so that according to what was spoken when it says, so shall your descendants be, Abraham became the father of many nations. And not being weak in faith, Abraham did not consider his own body, which was already dead, since he was about 100 years old, or the deadness of Sarah's womb. No, Abraham did not stagger at the promise of Yahweh through distrust, but was strong in the faith, acknowledging the excellence of Yahweh's power and light. His power and light. Verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what Yahweh had promised, he also was able to perform, and therefore it was credited to Abraham for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was credited to him, but also for us. It shall be credited to us who believe in Yahweh, who raised up the Messiah, Yahusha, our Master, from the dead, who was delivered up because of our unintentional errors and violations of Torah, and who was raised up for our acquittal and pardon. Here's the title, faith in Yeshua or Yahusha's blood brings pardon. Faith in Yahusha's blood brings pardon. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been acquitted and pardoned by faith in his blood, we have peace with Yahweh through our Master, the Messiah, Yahusha, through whom also we have access by faith into this favor, by which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the excellence of Yahweh's power and light. And not only that, but we also rejoice in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character produces hope. Now hope does not bring disappointment, because the love of Yahweh has been poured out in our minds by the Ruach HaKadosh, who was given to us. The next heading is Yahusha's sacrificial death. Chapter 5, verse 6 of Romans. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Yahweh's appointed one died for the wicked. For it is a rare thing for a man to even give their life for a righteous man, even perhaps for an honorable man a person might dare to die for. But Yahweh demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still violating his Torah, the Anointed One, his Son, died for us. And even more than that, having now been acquitted and pardoned through his Son's blood, we also shall be saved from Yahweh's righteous anger through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to Yahweh through the death of his Son, then how much more, having now been reconciled to him, shall we now be saved by the power of his resurrected life? And not only that, but we also can rejoice in Yahweh through our Master Yahusha, his Anointed One, through whom we have now received that reconciliation. That's the end of verse 11. The next section is Death in Adam, Life in Messiah. Romans 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through the one man, Adam, violation of Torah, has entered into the world, and death through that sin, death has therefore likewise spread to all men, because all have violated Torah. 13. And sin was in the world all the way up to the time of the reintroduction of Torah at Mount Sinai, but people could not be held accountable for their violations of Torah, where the revelation of Torah had not yet been revealed. But despite this absence of revelation of Torah among many, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not violated Torah, according to the likeness of the sin of Adam, who was a type of Yahweh's anointed one who was to come. 15. But the offering presented without expense to us through Yahusha is not like the one offered at our own expense at the temple for our unintentional errors and violations of Torah. For through one violation of Torah many died, but through the favor of Yahweh and the offering presented without expense by him through Yahusha, his anointed one, his favor has now abounded much more to many. Now verse 16. And so the offering presented without expense to us and on our behalf is not like the sacrifice offered by the priests on our behalf at the temple. For the judgment which came through the one Torah violation of Adam resulted in the condemnation of death for all born into this world, but the offering presented without expense to us by Yahusha for our many Torah violations results in pardon and acquittal and in deliverance from spiritual death for all who believe in him. I hope you're following along with this, either on the internet or in your own copy of scriptures, whether it be the King James, the Hallelujah scriptures, restored scriptures. Try to follow along if you can, or just listen and enjoy, and we can study it later. Romans 5:16. And so the offering presented without expense to us and on our behalf is not like the sacrifice offered by the priests on our behalf at the temple. Let's go to verse 17. For if by the one man's violation of Torah death reigned through the one man Adam, then how much more will those who receive the abundance of Yahweh's favor through the righteous offering presented without expense to us and on our behalf reign in our life through the one man, the Messiah, Yahusha? Therefore, through one violation of Torah, judgment has come to all men, resulting in the condemnation of death. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the offering presented at no expense to us by Yahusha, or rather by Yahweh, the Father, on our behalf, came to all men, resulting in pardon and acquittal unto life. Verse 19. For as by Adam's disobedience many were made Torah violators, so also by Yahusha's obedience many will be made righteous. Now that's very important. Verse 19. For by Adam's disobedience many were made Torah violators, so also by Yahusha's obedience many will be made righteous. Also the law of sacrifices was added because the violations of Torah, oh, this is good. The law of sacrifices was added because the violations of Torah had greatly increased. But where Torah violation abounded, Yahweh's favor abounded much more. 21. So that even as Torah violation prevailed unto our death, even so Yahweh's favor would prevail through righteousness unto eternal life through the Messiah, Yahusha, our Master, an ultimate offering for sin. Now, verse 21, and the heading is Dead to Torah Violation, Alive to Yahweh. In Romans chapter 6, verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue to violate Torah so that Yahweh's favor may abound? Of course not. How shall we who died to Torah violation live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were immersed in the water into the Messiah Yahusha, that they were immersed in the water into his death? Verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with him through immersion into death, so that even as Yahweh's anointed was raised from the dead by the power and majesty of the Father, even so we should also walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be united together in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old nature was crucified, or rather impaled with him, so that our sin-driven bodies might be made powerless, and that we should no longer be slaves to that sin nature. For he who has died to the sin nature is made righteous, and no longer violates Torah. Chapter 6, verse 8. Now, if we died with Yahweh's anointed one, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that his anointed one, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died one time to the fallen nature of Adam, and he did it on behalf of all who believe, but that the life that he lives to Yahweh. Likewise, you also consider yourselves to be dead indeed to the sin nature inherited by Adam, but alive to Yahweh, in the Messiah Yahusha our Master. And do not let the sin nature reign in your dying body, so that you should obey it in its desires. And do not present your body members as tools of unrighteousness to violate Torah with, but present yourselves to Yahweh as if already raised up from the grave, and utilize your body members as tools of righteousness for Yahweh. For the fallen nature shall not have dominion over you now that you are under Yahweh's favor and no longer under the law of sin. That was Romans 6:14. Now for our next heading, from slaves of Torah violation to slaves of Yahweh. Romans 6:15. So shall we violate Torah because we are no longer under the curse of the law, but under Yahweh's favor? May it never be. Do you not know that to whoever you present yourselves as a slave to obey, you are that one's slaves to whom you obey, whether of Torah violation leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness? How about obedience to Torah leading to righteousness? In verse 17, but Yahweh be thanked that though you were slaves to the sin nature, you have obeyed from the core of your soul that form of doctrine that was delivered to you. And having been set free from the sin nature, you have now become slaves of righteousness. 19. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your body parts as slaves to uncleanness and to Torahless lives, which led you deeper and deeper into sin, so now present your body parts as slaves to righteousness, to be set apart for Yahweh. For when you were slaves to the fallen nature, you were not servants to righteousness. But what fruit then did you have in those things in which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now having been released from the fallen nature and having become slaves to Yahweh, you are now bearing fruit that is set apart to Yahweh, with the end result, everlasting life. For the wages of Torah violation is death. But the sacrifice offered at no cost to us by Yahweh is eternal life in the Messiah, Yahusha our Master, and ultimate sin sacrifice. Freed from the law of sin, Romans 7. Or do you not know, brothers of the womb, or brothers, it says in King James, brethren, for I speak to those who know the Torah, that the commandments of Torah, defining the boundaries of the covenant of marriage, have dominion over a man for as long as he lives. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the Torah to her husband for as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, the Torah releases her from her marital duties to her husband. So then if, while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be in violation of her marriage covenant and identified by Torah as an adulteress. That's Romans 7:3. If while her husband lives, she marries another man, she'll be in violation of her marriage covenant and identified by Torah as an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she will be released from the conditions of that vow, so that she will not be an adulteress, even though she has married another man. Therefore, my brothers of the womb, you also have become dead to the law of sin through the body of Messiah, so that you now may be married to another, to him who is raised from the dead, with your fruit now being produced to Yahweh and not to the wicked one. That seems to be a pivotal verse. Therefore, my brothers, you also have become dead to the law of sin through the body of Messiah, so that you now may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, with your fruit now being produced to Yahweh and not to the wicked one. 5. For when we were in the flesh, the passions and desires of the fallen nature, which were aroused by the law of sin, were at work in our bodies to bear fruit unto death. But now we have been delivered from the law of sin, having died to that which had held us in bondage, so that we should now serve in the newness of the Ruach, or Spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. There's a note about that. The note about this verse we just read. Now we've been delivered from the law of sin. Okay. It says this reference to the oldness of the letter is a Hebrew idiom referencing the tablets of the testimony, which contain the instructions on how to build the 10 components of the tabernacle or Mishkan, provided under the priesthood order of Levi for the shedding of blood for the remission of sin. See the Jews for Yeshua booklet on the mystery of the tablets for more on that topic. And I agree with this, teaching here on the mystery of the tablets. An easier website for me to remember is tntrevealed.com or jewsforyeshua.com. So the tablets and instruction which were added 430 years after the covenant given to Abraham and which acted as a tutor to point us to the blood of Messiah's sacrifice that would ultimately come in its place, but after the priesthood order of Melchizedek. This reference, therefore, is being used here to relate the greater freedom we have in Torah through his sacrifice over that which we had through the previous sacrificial system. In other words, prior to Messiah, we had to offer up animal sacrifices at our own expense for the remission of our sins according to the regulations governing the sacrifices offered at the Mishkan, or in this case at the temple, not the tabernacle, but at the temple. But how, since Messiah's coming, we have now been set free from the law of sin and its curse through his sacrifice, death, and resurrection, so can we now serve him with the fullness of the Ruach and the power of the resurrected life, apart from those temple offerings, or as he puts, sacrifices. So on to the next section, the Garden of Eden, Romans 7:7. How can we say then the Torah is sin? May it never be. On the contrary, I would not have known what sin is, except through the Torah. For I would not have known what covetousness is, unless the Torah had said, you shall not desire that which belongs to another. By the way, this is an indirect reference to Adam concerning his lust for the forbidden fruit. Chapter 7, verse 8 of Romans. But the law of sin, having its starting point through the commandment, worked to accomplish in me a longing desire for all kinds of forbidden things, and apart from the Torah, the law of sin was dead. Now, here is a interjection. This is a continuation of the inference to Adam and how Adam and we, through Adam, now also long to possess or experience forbidden things, a desire that did not exist prior to the giving of the commandment to Adam. And also a note on Romans 7, verse 8. Adam violated Torah only after receiving the knowledge of Torah, for it was only after receiving the knowledge of Torah that the serpent could deceive him, and Hava, or Eve, Hava, into violating it. Not that the Torah did not exist, or that it was evil, but that the Torah revealed and exposed the sinful nature within us, and made the sinful nature evident for what it is. And that nature, being duly exposed, responds by running further into darkness, away from the Torah, when it doesn't want to be exposed, and runs to the light as revealed in Torah when, through the spiritual nature, the soul wants to overcome and conquer the sin nature within. Romans chapter 7, verse 9. For I, in Adam, was alive once apart from the Torah, but when the commandment came to Adam, Torah violation came alive, and I, through Adam, died. Verse 10, and the commandment, which was revealed in order to bring life, I, through Adam, found to bring death. For the sin nature, through the serpent, taking opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, like the serpent, and by it killed me. Bereshit, Genesis chapter 2:15-3:7. Romans 7:12. Therefore the Torah is set apart, and the commandment is set apart, and just and good. The Torah is good. Verse 13. Has then that which is good become death to me? Absolutely not. But Torah violation, so that it might be revealed as sin, was producing death in me through that which is good, so that the violation of Torah through the commandment might be cast down and clearly exposed as the great wickedness that it really is. For we know that the Torah is spiritual, but that it was I who was fleshly, having been sold as a slave to serve sin in a life that was out of alignment with Yahweh's instruction in Torah. 15. For what I did not understand, and what I desired to do, that I did not practice, but that which I hated, that I did. If then I did that which I desired not to do, I agree then with the Torah that the Torah is good. But now it is no longer I who did it, but the law of sin that dwelled in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For though the desire to do what is right was present within me, how to perform that which is right, I did not know. For the righteous things I desired to do, I did not do. But the evil that I desired not to do, that I did. Now if I did that which I desired not to do, it was no longer I who did it, but the law of sin that dwelled in me. I found then a law that evil was ever present with me, the one who desired to do what is right. For I delighted in the Torah of Yahweh, according to the inward man. That's Paul, the apostle, or rather emissary Shaul, speaking in Romans 7:22. I delight in the Torah of Yahweh, according to the inward man. That seems to settle it all right there about the Torah having been done away, doesn't it? 23. But I saw another law in my body, the law of sin, warring against the law of my mind, the instruction of Torah, which brought me into captivity to the law of sin which was in my body. O wretched man that I was, who would deliver me from this body of death? I thank Yahweh that it would be through the Messiah, Yahusha our Master, the promised seed of Abraham. So then, with a mind, I myself now serve the Torah of Yahweh. Though in the past, with the flesh, I served the law of sin. Next in Romans 8, as we are reading this, a literal translation base in context with the Torah and paraphrased as needed to bring out and clarify the Hebrew idioms, culture, and the background in which it was written. Free from indwelling Torah violation. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation, ending in spiritual death, to those who are in the Messiah, Yahusha, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Ruach. For the law of the Ruach of life in the Messiah, Yahusha, has made me free from the law of sin and death. And what the sacrificial law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh of animals, Yahweh did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of our violations of Torah, and he condemned and put to death the sinful nature of the flesh, so that the righteous requirement of the shedding of blood pictured in the sacrificial law for the remission of sin, and of the righteous requirements of Torah, might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the fleshly nature, but according to the Ruach. Verse 5. For those who live according to the desires of the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Ruach set their minds on the things of the Ruach. For to be sinful-minded is death, but to be spiritually-minded is life and peace. Because the fleshly mind is bitterly opposed to Yahweh, for it is not submissive to the Torah of Yahweh, nor indeed can be. So then, those who follow after the animal nature of their fleshly cravings cannot please Yahweh. But you are not walking after the fleshly nature, but after the Ruach, if indeed the Ruach of Yahweh dwells in you. And understand that if anyone does not have the Ruach sent by Yahusha, then he does not belong to Yahweh. But if the Ruach of Yahweh is in you, the body will still die because of Torah violation, but the Ruach will bring you new life because of righteousness both in this life and life to come. And if the Ruach of Yahweh, who raised Yahusha from the dead, dwells in you, then Yahweh, who raised his anointed one from the dead, will also give life to you through his Ruach, who dwells in you, though you are still dwelling in physical bodies that will someday die. Next, now the children of Yahweh, not of the accuser. Now the children of Yahweh, in Romans 8, verse 12, therefore, brothers of the womb, we are in debt, not to the sin nature, to live according to the desires of the flesh. For if you live according to the lusts and impulses of the flesh, you will die. But if by the Ruach you put to death the practices and cravings of your fleshly body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Ruach of Yahweh, these are the sons of Yahweh. For you did not receive the Ruach of enslavement again to fear, but you received the Ruach of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Ruach itself bearing witness with our Ruach that we are the sons of Yahweh. And here he used the feminine tense for the Spirit. And then verse 16 and 17 would read, the Ruach, or the Spirit itself, bearing witness with our Ruach that we are the sons of Yahweh. And if sons, then heirs, heirs of Yahweh, and joint heirs with his anointed one. If indeed we suffer with him, that may we also be exalted together with him. That was Romans chapter 8, verse 17, concluding this translation, a Hebraic paraphrase to clarify better the original meaning as understood by the writer and emissaries of Yahusha Messiah in the first century CE. This is from www.tntrevealed.org, the Torah and the Testimony Revealed Ministry, tntrevealed.org, or jewsforyeshua.com. And it was titled Translation 6, Romans 4, verse 1 through Romans 8, verse 17. And we invite you to tune in to our website, YahvahYahweh.com, YahvahYahweh.name or .com, and look at some of the other scripture translations by TNT, by Hezekiah Haas. The Feast Days Handout, the Book of Colossians chapter 2 translation. The Epistles of John, the final workout on that. The Book of Galatians, or the Booklet of Galatians. And the three books of Yochanan's, or three books of John. And my name is Stephan Yah. My email address is Stephan Yah, TSEPHANYAH, Stephan Yah, at YahvahYahweh.name. May Yahweh's name be exalted. And in the Messiah, Yahusha, I greet you with this Shalom.